chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift will come to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Bible reading from Romans chapter 5 that Brother Jan Farley just finished with is the basis of our lesson today concerning God's grace and God's love toward us. We're here today because God has been gracious to us, and in His willingness to help us to be able to serve Him and be a part of His family, He allowed His Son to come to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. His Son willingly came to this earth and gave His life for us and shed His blood so that we might be forgiven. And then Jesus added us to the church. We're part of His body. God is good to us. His grace is good to us. And Romans chapter 5 discussed that love and that grace. A matter of fact, in verse 8 of Romans chapter 5, He says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Then verse 15 and verse 21 of that chapter talks about the grace that God has bestowed upon us. When we think about grace, we understand that grace is unmerited favor. That is, that grace is something that's given to us that's unearned. God has bestowed His grace on us even though we could not earn salvation, even though we could not do enough to be saved, even though we could not be good enough to receive forgiveness of sins. God is gracious to us in that He allows us to receive forgiveness through His mercy to us, and we can't earn it, but He allows it to be there for us if we will obey Him and to have access to that grace that He offers to us. The grace and mercy of God is great, and He's bestowed it to all men. And we have that forgiveness through Jesus Christ, His Son, because God allows that to happen. Not only will we be looking at Romans chapter 5 this morning, but we'll also be looking at Titus chapter 2 and a few verses from Titus chapter 3 that tie in with the grace and love of God as we consider that subject. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, he says that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So God allows us as men and women to have access to Him through obedient faith, because He has been gracious to us in allowing His Son to come and live, and His Son came and gave His life for us. The love and grace of God is available to every man. When God created man and put him on this earth, and He made woman and put her with him in the Garden of Eden, He gave them certain instructions, and when they disobeyed God, they committed sin and separated themselves from God. Therefore, they had to die physically. They were separated from the tree of life. They were separated from the garden, and all men die. As in Adam, all men die physically, but as in Christ, if we die spiritually. When we leave this physical body, we die physically, but spiritually we remain alive because of what Christ did for us in shedding His blood, that we could have forgiveness and have hope of eternal life. So this grace that God bestows upon man is available to everyone. Look to Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. In Titus chapter 2 verse 11 it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." So the grace of God is something that He wants all men to have access to. Now, we understand that not all men will be able to tap into that grace because they will refuse to obey God. And obedience to God is essential then, so we may receive that grace. Romans 1 and verse 16, we understand that through the Word of God, the power of the gospel and the preaching of it, when it falls into good and honest hearts and people receive it in their heart and obey it, the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So the grace that God permits all men to have access to through His Son and through His Word is for all. The great, the small, the rich, the poor, it doesn't matter. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, Jesus sent out His apostles to preach and teach the gospel. And He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." So the gospel is for all. Salvation is for all. The grace of God is for all. He allows all to have access to it, but not all will take advantage of that access and will not be able to tap into that grace because they refuse to obey God. The love and grace of God is important because by the kindness and love of God, along with His grace and mercy that He gives us, He saves us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In John 3 and verse 16, it tells us that "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So God has been gracious to us in providing a way through His Son for us to receive salvation. We couldn't earn that. We couldn't live good enough to receive it, but because He has been gracious to us, He gives us access to us to that salvation through His Word. Look to Titus chapter 3, and let's read verses 4 through 6. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. He says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." So we access this grace of God through His Son, what His Son did for us. Look to Romans chapter 5 that was read just a few minutes ago by Brother Farley, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 and take note of some of the points in those verses concerning how we access that grace of God. God's love and His mercy allows us then to have salvation through His Son. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, he talks about being justified by faith. And through that faith and obedience to God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So the grace of God, His kindness and love bestowed upon us, allows us to receive salvation through what He did for us through His Son, and we're saved then through His mercy by obedience to the Word that gives us access to the blood of Christ who shed His blood for us. He goes on down to verses 10 and 11 of Romans chapter 5, and it says, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more have been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Salvation comes through Christ. Have that salvation come through God's grace and mercy of sending His Son. Verse 11 of Romans 5. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So what Paul is saying, and what in both letters, the letter to the church at Rome and also in the letter to Titus, we see that the grace of God is bestowed upon us through His Son and through His mercy and the shedding of His blood, and we have access to that then through His Son. Go back to Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 again. He says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God's plan for man was salvation through His Son, and though it took hundreds of years for that plan to come to fruition through His Son, when man sinned in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, and then all men sinned at one time or another when they reached the age of accountability, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What is the wages of sin? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wage of sin is death," but what? "But the gift of God is eternal life." So that gift of God, eternal life, comes through His mercy and His grace being bestowed upon us through His love of giving His Son, and through His Son's love of being willing to love us enough to give His life for us. So the grace that God is offering to mankind is offered to everyone. And through that kindness and love of God and the grace and mercy that God bestows upon us is allowable to us through His Son. Thirdly, this morning we see then concerning the love and the grace of God that we receive this great love of God and the grace that He has for us by when we hear His Word, when we believe His Word, when we repent of our sins, confess Christ as Son of God, and when we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. So the great thing is that God was willing to give His Son, bestow His grace upon us, and allow a way through which we could receive forgiveness. So how do we access that? Well, we access that, we receive that through believing and obeying what God requires of us in order to receive forgiveness. Talk about these things. Look to Acts chapter 2, and let's just look at the first gospel sermon. In Acts chapter 2, when the sermon was preached on the day of Pentecost in AD 33, and Peter preached that first sermon, he preached to people from Jews from all different places. About 14 different countries was named there where these Jews came to Jerusalem from in order to worship. And Peter had an audience there of different people from different nations, and he preached to them about Jesus, the Son of God. And he told them who Jesus is. This is the Son of God, that He did not leave in the grave, but He raised Him from the dead. And He was seen among men. Witnesses knew He was raised alive, and He's ascended into heaven. And he talked about the fact that the patriarch David had died, and his bones are still in the sepulcher today when he preached that sermon. But Christ was raised from the dead. He did not allow His Son to see corruption. Why? Because His Son then was the one who came and died for our sins and shed His blood. And through His overcoming death and being raised from the grave and being witnessed day after day by hundreds of people, and then ascending into heaven. Through that we have access to God when we obey. So Peter preached that gospel sermon. He preached unto them the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And in preaching that, we get down to Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. He says to them, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So to access the grace of God through Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness of sins, what was required of these people? Number one, they had to hear the good news about Jesus Christ, and then they had to understand what it was they needed to do to access that grace that God had given to them through His Son. And He tells them then, when the word that they heard was received into their heart and they were moved by it and they questioned, "What shall we do?" He told them then to repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins cannot come without the grace of God being bestowed upon us and His love being bestowed upon us through His Son. So when we hear about that Son and hear about Jesus and what He done for us, and we believe it as these people believed it, they heard and they were moved by it, and so they acted upon what they were told, they repented. And in verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized that day. So they receive the forgiveness of sins by their actions of faith in obeying what the Word told them. So we must hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. Faith is essential for that. Hebrews 11:6. So we receive love and grace of having our sins forgiven when we hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized. When we look at numerous examples in the book of Acts of people who receive the grace of God to have salvation in their life, the Word of God was first taught, it was preached, and when they heard it, they were moved by it, they believed it, they were told to confess Christ. In Romans 10:9-10, we were told to confess Him, confess Christ as, and understand who He is, that we believe that He's the Son of God. And also in Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian eunuch was taught and riding along in the chariot, and they came to some water, and he said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He was told, "Do you believe?" And he believed. He confessed Christ, the Son of God, there in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 39. And he was baptized for the forgiveness of sins. So to be able to receive that grace and that love of God and have the forgiveness of our sins, it involves hearing the Word that God has given to us, repenting, believing what that Word says, and being willing to change our life to conform to what God asks us to do, confess Christ, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, we see again the importance of then of baptism. That by the waters of baptism represents the blood of Christ. And to receive that grace of God, to receive forgiveness, it comes through our actions of faith when we hear and believe to be baptized so that our sins can be washed away. Romans 6 verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore," verse 4, "we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing," verse 6, "knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." He goes on then in the next few verses to talk about knowing that Christ was raised from the dead. We too are to be raised to walk in newness of life, because in the waters of baptism that represent the blood of Christ, we are cleansed of our sins. And so by doing that, we have access to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of Romans 6 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So we're no longer under the law of Moses, but we're under the grace of God through Christ. And the love of God allows us to have that grace through His Son. And we receive that love and grace and that forgiveness at the point to begin with when we hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized. Well, let's talk about staying within that grace. We've just read from the Bible what we must do to access that grace, to have forgiveness of our sins. But once we've accessed it and it's been bestowed upon us because by faith we did hear, believe, repent, confess, and was baptized, what we must do then to maintain our status within that grace of God to be His child and continue to be a faithful child of God? Well, go back. Go over to chapter 2 of Titus. That's where these verses tie into our lesson this morning concerning the grace and the love of God. To stay in God's grace, we have certain responsibilities on our part that we must fulfill in order to stay within the grace of God. God's grace is always there, but we have to do our part by faith in obeying to stay in access to that grace and be faithful to Him, or we'll fall away. Titus chapter 2, after he talks about the grace of God, he says one thing that we need to do as Christians to stay in that grace is deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So once we're raised from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life, we're to put off the old man of sin. We're to put off the worldly lust. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. All this is tied into the context of the grace of God that he's talking about in these verses. So we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Put aside the things of the world. We go back to Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14 that we were looking at just a few minutes ago, and I want to read those verses. Romans 6, verses 12 through 14, that also talks about this denying ungodliness and worldliness and putting these things away from us. Romans 6, verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So what we do, God's grace is always there for us. And when we abide within His will, we stay in contact with that grace. But yet, there is an allowance through that grace that if we do sin, we can come back to God and confess our fault and pray to Him and repent of our sins, and He will forgive us of our sins as a child of God. So it's important that we understand that staying within the grace of God and remaining faithful requires putting off the things of the world and ungodliness. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 warns that we're not to love the world, neither the things of the world. These things are passing away. So, to stay within God's grace, I have a responsibility to put away ungodliness in my life and to put away worldly lust from my life, and so do you. Secondly, we see to stay within this grace that God has bestowed upon us through our obedience by faith, we have the duty to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, again he goes on teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So it's a twofold thing. When we hear the Word of God and we believe it and we obey it, we're baptized, our sins are washed away. What we do then is put off the man of sin, put off the ways of the world, put off the ungodliness and unrighteousness, and then we are to live soberly, that is, live in a clear thinking attitude. Live with a mind that's not marred with things of the world, but a mind that's concentrating on God, and that will develop into a life that's clean and pure, a righteous life, and live in a godly manner. Titus 2 and verse 12. We go to 1 Peter chapter 1 very quickly this morning and look at that. 1 Peter chapter 1, and there he has something to say also about the life that we live in keeping our lives pure and clean in the sight of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 14 and going through verse 16. He says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Then we go to chapter 3 there, verses 8 through 12 concerning living a righteous life. 1 Peter 3 verse 8, he says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So then, God's grace is there for all men. It has appeared for all men. Those who receive that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized then need to stay within the realm of that grace by denying ungodliness and worldly lust and living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then we go back to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 and we see another note. That in this grace of God and serving Him as children, we must keep our focus on being faithful. Keep our focus on the things of God. Looking toward that blessed hope that's ours, that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we serve God as a Christian, we're looking toward the ultimate end of salvation when Christ comes again, and that we'll be found faithful when He returns. So the grace of God is there for us, and we can access it by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. But to continue in that, it involves putting off the things of the world, living godly and righteously, and being obedient children to God, and keeping our focus on what? On being faithful. Titus 2 and verse 13, look what that verse says. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we know the ultimate result of our salvation is going to heaven, we look forward to the fact that Jesus is going to come again, and He's going to bring into His own those who have obeyed God, who have accessed that grace through faithful obedience, and He will take them home to heaven. So what a blessing it is then that God has bestowed His grace upon us. Again, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, we're going to read that verse. Within the realm of being faithful and serving God, because we've received His grace and had the forgiveness of sins, to continue faithfully in that, we need to be zealous for good works. And that all comes in a common sense attitude, because if you put off the things of the world, if you put off things that are ungodly, if you put off the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and we put on the things that are of God as obedient children, we will be zealous for good works. Verse 14 of Titus chapter 2, he says, "Who gave Himself for us," speaking of Jesus, "who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a special people zealous for good works." Sometimes when you hear people talking about salvation and going to heaven, they'll talk about the grace of God as if there's nothing that's required on the part of man to access that grace. They'll talk about the grace and mercy of God as if God just puts it out there and man doesn't have to do anything, and through God's mercy and grace, somehow man's going to be saved because God will be willing to forgive him even in his sins without him doing anything. And God is willing to forgive us. But the requirement is then that we hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized. And then as obedient children, change our lives according to His Word and according to His will, that we'd live soberly and righteously in this present world and be zealous for good works. Well, we go again and emphasize, after receiving that grace of God and having forgiveness, that faithfulness in our life must continue as we obey God. Go back to Romans chapter 6. We haven't been in chapter 6 but about the first 14 verses this morning. But let's go back to Romans chapter 6 verse 22. And he says, "But now having been set free from sin..." How were we set free from sin? Because God loved us enough to bestow His grace, unmerited favor on us through sending His Son. His Son willingly gave His life and shed His blood and gave His will and way for us to have access to it, to hear it, to know it, to understand it, and believe it by faith and have forgiveness. But now, having been set free from sin and having become servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So God's grace is there for us. Unmerited favor. But how are we going to do that? How are we going to reach the end of that? believe Him, obey Him, and be faithful in that obedience, so heaven will one day be our home. Well, I want to take a note and look just briefly this morning as we conclude our lesson. What God has done for us by His grace that He bestowed upon us through Jesus, His Son. Look at Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, and notice what He says concerning this love of God and this grace. What God has done for us. And He's done that for all men if we'll just believe and access that grace and that great love by obeying Him. He says, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for us appeared, He saved us. What God did through His Son and His Son shedding His blood, giving His Son for us, He saved us. Not on virtue of just what they did, but He allowed us to receive that salvation because they did that. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Remember this morning already we talked about the fact that grace is unmerited favor. We can't do enough good things. We can't live good enough. We can't step up high enough and be the good enough person on our own to be saved, but because of God's grace. And the sacrifice and the debt that was paid through His shedding of His blood, Son's blood, that reconciled us back to God. Here's what God has done. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. One day we will inherit heaven if we access that grace that God has bestowed upon us. If we believe His Word through which we learn about that grace. If we obey what's within that Word that He requires of us to do to receive forgiveness of sins. And then if we remain faithful in what He asks us to do in living a life of faithfulness. In conclusion, as we look back to Romans chapter 5 and Titus chapter 2 this morning, God did His part. Jesus did His part so that we could be people who would be heirs of God's grace. Now my responsibility and your responsibility is by faith to do what they require so that we can access that grace. We need to obey God so we can receive that love and grace that He so abundantly offers to us through Jesus His Son. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven." Unmerited favor. The grace of God is great. Without it, we'd be lost forever. But with it, we have access to salvation. And through Him, and through His Word, and what the Holy Spirit reveals to us through the Bible, we can stay in contact with that. And be faithful to it and go to heaven if we do what it requires of us to receive that grace. Are you doing what you should do? Am I doing what I should do? Have you done this morning what God requires of you to receive that grace by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins and confessing that and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins? If you have done that, then you're a child of God and I'm a child of God. We need then to continue to be within that grace and be faithful in it so that heaven can be our home. If you're here this morning and you need to respond in either case, you'd like to be baptized into Christ so you can receive forgiveness of sins, or if you've lived in a way that you've brought shame on your life as a Christian and you need to within the grace that God allows you to be able to confess a sin and repent of it and pray to Him and get forgiveness, if you need that at this time and we can help you with it, please come while together we stand and while we sing.